good evening. This is Fred or Ralph with Temple of the Infinite Universe. And tonight I am going to be discussing spiritual healing, energy at work. When it comes to healing, we tend to have a mechanical view of things. And I think this has been true of us, at least us in the West, for hundreds of years. We've had more of a Newtonian type of a worldview, where everything can be explained in terms of matter and motion, and we have more of a worldview of the human body and animals and plants as if they are machines, well-oiled machines that run really well for the most part, but then over the course of time do tend to break down and need a mechanic to come in and fix things back up again. And that's one way of looking at the universe. But, how long ago? Maybe about 100 years ago, we had Albert Einstein, who put together his theory of relativity and his classic E equals MC squared, energy equals mass times the speed of light squared. Now, I don't really pretend to know exactly, deeply, what that means, but I do realize that on a superficial level, it means that matter is energy. In the worldview that I mentioned previously, in which we take a very mechanical look at things, we're thinking in terms of matter being the building block, you know, matter being what makes up the universe. And the smallest building block of matter would be the atom or the subatomic particles. And I think science is still trying to break apart the atom and break apart all the subatomic particles they can find to try to find the smallest unit of matter. And to the best of my knowledge, they have been unsuccessful. They think they found the smallest unit of matter, but then when they put that matter through an atomic particle accelerator and smash it down a little bit more, they find something even smaller than what they previously thought of as being the smallest unit of matter. Now, with Einstein's view of the universe, I'm just going to call it an energetic view of the universe, we understand that matter isn't the building block of the universe. Energy and consciousness are the building blocks of the universe. We understand from Einstein that if you can smash down atoms, they release energy. And if you do it in a chain reaction, of course, matter can release all kinds of energy, an atom bomb style of energy. But matter is not, from that worldview, the building block of the universe. Energy is. Energy is what makes up matter. And consciousness, from the divine mind, and our minds play a part in this process too, consciousness holds energy into place. Everything we see around us is energy that is being held into a certain vibratory pattern by consciousness, by a divine mind, and our minds too, our consciousness interacts with this divine mind, and we can and do have an effect on the physical things around us. Obviously, when we do physical work and take a hammer and drive a nail into a board, obviously we have an impact in co-creating through a material mechanical way. But when we start using energy, when we start using the realization that our consciousness can impact energy and rearrange energy in a positive way, or sometimes in a negative way, then we can understand that we can have an impact on the physical world around us aside from doing physical work. We can influence matter through our own minds, and especially we can have an impact on matter when we work in harmony with the divine mind, the divine consciousness. And that's where the real power of seemingly miraculous things comes about. The first way, the first tool that we can use to do energy work, and this is really basic energy work, what I'm going to be covering here tonight. Two ways in which we can do energy work involve meditation. And then a third tool that we can use to do energy work is through a process called tapping. But to start off with the practice of meditation first, we can heal ourselves and sometimes also others by going into a deep state of meditation. And this is the form of meditation which allows us to just turn off our mind, not necessarily recite a mantra or anything, but just totally, completely relax to allow energy to flow through our body as it should without our mind, our ideas of our worldview and our ideas of how the universe should operate, without letting all of that get in the way of the divine energy, which can and will work healing powers in our bodies or in the bodies of those who are close to us. And if we get into a deep practice of meditation and we just let our mind go, get ourselves out of the way of the divine mind, so to speak, and allow the divine mind to work in us, through us, energetically, then healing can take place. A teacher I listened to, Ajahn Brahm, had a great story of this. He would be teaching a meditation retreat, and he would notice certain people who had injuries, maybe, you know, months or years before they came to the retreat, but they had injuries sometime in the past, and they would get into a practice of meditation, and they would start in their normal posture of meditation. But then he would notice that the deeper they got into their meditation, the stranger their bodily posture would be. They would start in a normal sitting position, and then over the course of time, they would kind of scrunch up in certain ways, lean over in unusual ways, and not be aware that they were doing it. And then after about an hour or so, they would come out of that meditative state, and they would be surprised that they were in this really unusual position. And they would go to the teacher, Ajahn Brahm, and they would ask, you know, how come I went in from a good, what they thought of as being a good meditation posture, to being in a totally, what they thought of as being a totally screwed up meditation posture. And Ajahn Brahm would ask them, did you feel any warm spots in your body? And they would say, well, yes, you know, the base of my back, or someone else might say in their arm, or, you know, others would say in still another bodily location. And they would say, yeah, I felt a warming sensation in that part of my body. And then Ajahn Brahm would say, how were you injured? And they would be surprised that he would know that they happened to have sustained an injury in that part of their body at some time in the past. And sometimes the injury would have been so far back in the past that they would have just forgotten all about it, not really been consciously aware of it. But when the question was asked, when did you injure that part of your body, the light would go on and they would think, aha, I did suffer an injury there. And then Ajahn Brahm would go on to say that, look, your weird meditation posture, or what you think of as being a really weird, screwed up posture, is just the body's way of altering its position so that the flow of energy can come through the body with less restriction. And this is just the way that this energy has of allowing the body to do what it needs to do in order to facilitate a good flow of energy and heal itself. And the only thing that the practitioner has to do is not focus on the injury, not focus on what they want, not focus on any desires, but just trust that the universe wants healthy people. The universe wants the person to be healthy and happy, and the universe is going to provide the energy that is needed to heal that particular injury or illness. And all we have to do is just get our mind out of the way and let the universe do whatever it is that the universe is going to do. And so that's one way in which we can heal ourselves, is just getting our mind out of the way, blissing out, and just letting the divine mind do what needs to be done. Now, there is a second manner of energy work, and this comes from the writings of Emmett Fox, who wrote a very short little pamphlet, which is pure gold. It's called The Golden Key. And he gives another form of meditation, but now this is a mantra meditation. And this can be used to heal yourself, get yourself out of jams, binds, legal problems, financial problems. It can also be used to get other people out of difficulties or to help heal other people. And it runs along the same principle as meditation as taught by Ajahn Brahm in the story I told previously. Only this can be used not only to aid yourself, but also it can easily be used to aid and to benefit others. And in this very simple practice of energy work, Emmett Fox advises the seeker to first concentrate on the problem, whatever that problem is, and then just state that to their understanding of God or Goddess. Either one will work. And if you don't believe in a personal God or Goddess, you can just say universe, energy of the universe, a divine mind, whatever you are comfortable with and on whatever level of understanding you happen to be on. Just acknowledge the problem and then present the problem to whatever your higher power happens to be. And then the next step in this process of doing the golden key, he calls it golden keying your problem, is to forget about your problem. First, you call your problem to mind. Then you lay it before your higher problem. And then, no, to your higher, I said higher problem. You lay it before your higher power. You put your problem before the higher power. And then you focus on your higher power, trusting that the higher power is going to help you take problem. And what he says to do in this practice, whatever the problem is, lay it before the higher power, and then focus your mind not on the problem, but on whatever it is that you know about your higher power. And you can focus on some very simple little mantras like, God is love. God is good. God is with me now. And he says that's really one of the highest affirmations that you can say while doing this golden key exercise, is that God or Goddess is with me now. And just put yourself in the presence of your higher power and just keep reciting what you know about your higher power. You know, going from either your faith tradition or your own personal experience. And if you can bring yourself to say, my higher power is with me now. My higher power is not going to abandon me. My higher power is going to rectify this situation. My higher power is with me now. And just focus on that for however long you can focus on that. And as Emmett Fox says, keep focusing on your higher power until all conscious memory of your problem goes away. And then when you feel like you've done it enough and everything is going to be okay, then just quit the practice, get up, do whatever it is you need to do to get through the rest of your day. And I've tried this. I mean, this is a practice that seems so ridiculously simple that there's no way in the world it could possibly work. But actually, when we have gone through some very tense, difficult situations in which I really didn't see how things were going to work out well, I did the exercise and then went through the rest of my day and noticed that when I laid the problem before my higher power, when I took my higher problem and gave it to my higher power and did the golden key exercise in the way explained by Emmett Fox, that problem did disappear. It worked itself out. Now, I still had to do what I had to do in order to, you know, go forth and put in my daily work, put in my 2 cents worth. But as I was doing that, I had the assurance in my heart that my higher power was going to give me whatever energy I needed to get this problem taken care of. And what this basically is energy flowing from a higher source, which we understand as our higher power, however we understand that power, and we accept that flow of energy from the upper source, and we let it flow through us. And what we focus on doing, we don't focus on it in an egoic way. We just let this energy flow through us and try to be the best conduits of this energy that we possibly can be, and let the higher power do the majority of the work. We do what we need to do or what we feel led to do by this higher energy. But we trust that the higher power is going to work it out, and that this energy flow from the higher power is going to work it out. Now, this sounds bizarre, it sounds fanciful to some, but when we understand that we are not machines, you know, we are energy. We are energy and consciousness. And where we run into problems emotionally, spiritually, physically, in health-related problems, it's when we cut ourselves off from this upper source, from this higher power, when we think that we are alone, isolated, individuated little bundles of flesh. And that's when we start, when we cut ourselves off from the upper source, that's when we start running into problems of not having enough of this, not having enough of that, getting sick and getting stressed out, and just not being our best self. But when we reconnect in faith and confidence with our higher power, this upper source, and allow this energy to flow unimpeded by our limitations, our limited worldview, then things will start to fall into place. After all, I think that when we're doing any kind of energy work, and, you know, make no mistake about it, this is very, very simple energy work. But when we do this kind of work, the greatest handicap we have be our negative thoughts, self-limiting thoughts, that, ah, oh, this is just a bunch of hooey, there's nothing solid to it, no way this can work. And if we enter into it with that mindset, then, of course, there's no way it's going to work. But if we give it an honest shot, then I think we will find that things do work out. We just have to let this higher source energy flow from the upper source come through us, cleanse us, heal us, help us, energize us, and things do work out. I'm going to take a short break, play a song by Mojo Radio called Healing, and then we'll be back to wrap this up.
But
this is Fred or Ralph back, and I wanted to give you a reference to that last healing technique, very simple energy working technique, came from Emmett Fox. It's called the Golden Key, and if you just Google Golden Key and maybe also type in Emmett Fox, you will find this material freely given on the internet. It's a I found it in PDF format, available free at charge. This stuff is just being very widely and freely distributed. And it's a small pamphlet. I think I printed it out. It's 2 or 3 pages long. And if you use very small fonts, you can even get it smaller than that. I like it large enough where I can read it. But yeah, The Golden Key by Emmett Fox. Just Google that and you'll come out with a lot of information on that. The next form of energy working that I'm going to cover tonight is called tapping. And I studied tapping under the Gary Craig School of Emotional Freedom Technique. And there's also an awful lot of other, you know, forms of tapping that are now out there, kind of leapfrogging off of Gary's work. There's a website that I'm going to give right here now. It's kind of a basic introduction into tapping in general, and it's easy to remember. It's www.tapping.com. But what tapping is a form of energy healing that is similar to acupuncture. What the founders of tapping, and I forget now who is the actual real founder. Gary Craig is one of the early guys to work in this, but there was a doctor that worked on it before Gary Craig. I believe this was a doctor from Australia. But what they thought, they saw how acupuncture worked in relieving aches and pains and to aid in physical healing. And they understood that the theory was that the body is full of energy meridians, and that sometimes these energy meridians get blocked, clogged up, kind of like a hose that gets clogged up and won't let water flow through it. So our energy circuits sometimes get clogged and filled with, you know, negativity, or sometimes physical injuries can cause blockages in our energy networks, and that these blockages need to be opened back up again. They need to be cleaned out. And the theory was that acupuncture did this by inserting needles into certain energy points. And this one doctor wondered, well, can you substitute something else for the needles? Can you just say tap on those acupuncture points and get a similar result? And what they found out through the course of trial and error is that absolutely, if you're afraid of needles and you have an ache or a pain that you would like to be relieved, you could actually tap on certain pressure points, if you will, energy points within the body, and help to reestablish a normal energy flow, relieve this blockage of energy, or energy blockages, and just let the energy flow through the body as it should. And then once this normal energy flow was reestablished, many times the aches and the pains and the physical illness would go away. Now, I'd like to state right here, right now, that this is not a magic cure-all for everything. Physical injuries that are major, like, say, broken back, broken bones, bullet holes, you know, stuff like that, tapping alone, acupuncture alone, won't do the whole job. You know, you'd need to get yourself in and see a medical doctor and get that physical problem taken care of. But even, you know, if you're suffering an injury that does require the services of a medical doctor that operates from the mechanical worldview, doing this energy work on ourselves can help to speed the healing. I had a great reminder of that this past summer. I hadn't been to see a doctor in about 12 years. In that time, you know, I practiced meditation and I practiced tapping and was feeling pretty darn good. You know, a few complaints, a few problems, but nothing major. And then I had a serious accident over the summer where, you know, I did some nasty injury to myself. I won't go into exactly what it was. And after 12 years of not seeing the doctor, I had to go see the doctor, and, he didn't even recognize me. But he did remark that, you know, for a guy as ugly as you are, you're in pretty darn good shape. His bedside manner needs a little bit of work. But, the doctor did his thing about helping to heal me physically, and I went back home and did my thing about doing my energy work, helping to keep the energy flow going, doing my practice of meditation. And when I went back to see the doctor again after the course of a few weeks, he was really surprised at how fast I was healing. And I thought, you know, with my age, I'm going to give that away. I'm about 53 now, going on 54. I thought that, you know, the body doesn't bounce back as fast as it used to, but still, I mean, for that type of injury, the speed of the healing that we saw was pretty remarkable. And so, you know, when you need to go see a doctor, don't be shy. Go see a doctor. You know, meditation, tapping, these kind of things will help, but they don't take the place of a medical doctor when one is needed. But these alternative therapies can help to supplement the services of your medical doctor. So tapping, now, I can't really demonstrate this on the radio. I have no way right now of illustrating where these tapping points are, but if you go to www.tapping.com, you will see a few videos there being shown. And if you want to Google emotional freedom technique and find Gary Craig's website, I mean, that is really a good one. He takes you through the entire theory of it, shows you how to do it, where the pressure points that he uses are located. And the really remarkable thing about tapping that I found is, again, we can use this technique to help relieve our pain and suffering, and we can also use it to help heal others. And this is where a practice known as remote tapping comes into play. That's where you focus on another person that you're close to, and I mean emotionally close to. And if you're physically close, that can help too. If you're looking them right in the eye and doing the tapping routine on yourself, then you can somehow transfer that energy from you to the other person and help relieve their pains, whatever it was. And my first experiment with remote tapping is actually, it surprised me. I was working at a grocery store, and I was on my break, and one of the other cashiers came in for her break, and I was on one side of the break room, and she was on the other side of the break room, and I was just sitting there, just kind of meditating quietly, and I heard her talking, and she was complaining about a terrible headache that she had. She was talking to some close friends on the other side of the break room, and just saying she had this bad headache, that she only had a 15-minute break, and she wished that she could be over it, you know, before she had to go back to work. So I thought, aha, this is a good way to test remote tapping. So just quietly, I opened my eyes, saw her, kind of tried to hold a mental picture of her in my mind, and then closed my eyes and went through the tapping routine. And nobody was watching, so they didn't really think I was getting weird or anything, but you know, the tapping routine you can do very quietly without raising too much of a fuss. And I did the tapping routine for about 10 minutes. And then I quit. And then I started kind of listening again. And she got up. Her break time was over. And she remarked to her friends, "I feel so much better. I guess just coming in here and talking to you guys helped." And, you know, that may have had something to do with it too, but her headache was gone. A headache that she had had for most of the day was, you know, just getting worse and worse and worse. And she hadn't taken any kind of aspirin or medication for it. But all of a sudden, within 10 minutes of remote tapping being done, in her honor, so to speak, the pain that she was experiencing went away. And a lot of other people have shared similar stories that when they do the tapping exercise for somebody that they really care about or somebody that you know, they're concerned about and they want to help, sincerely want to help, very simple form of energy work can be effective. And again, you know, it does have its limitations. It's not good for broken bones, not good for bullet holes, but, you know, it can help speed healing in those areas along with the help of a regular medical doctor. So to wrap this up, I'm going to begin limiting my broadcast to about a half hour to 45 minutes. But to wrap this up, when it comes to energy work, such as meditation or tapping or any other form of energy work that we might do, the power of belief is a very real, very important power. If we go into our practice, whatever it is, with the belief that this is going to have a positive effect, if we believe very strongly that we are connecting with the power of the universe and that the universe wants good things for his, her, its children, and that we trust the universe as a child would trust a devoted parent, then we will find that our workings are much stronger than they would otherwise be if we go into the practice with the point of view that I'm going to try this, but gosh, it's just so damn silly. No way in the world it can work. But, you know, just to get this guy on the radio off my back, I'm going to give it a shot just to say that I did it. Now, if we enter into it with that point of view, then it's probably not going to be very good. It's probably not going to have a very, you know, good benefit for us. And the power of belief is very strong. We can use it wisely, and we can allow this power to work through us. Jesus, when he was questioned by his disciples about how he worked some miracles, Jesus told them, "Have faith in God," or your higher power, however you understand that higher power. "Truly I tell you, if you say to this mountain, 'Be taken up and thrown into the sea,' and if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that what you say will come to pass, it will be done for you. So I tell you, whatever you ask for in prayer," and also you can substitute ritual, "believe that you have already received it, and it will be yours." So there, the power of belief. You know, Jesus, who could multiply fish and bread and told his disciples that if they had the faith of a mustard seed, they could move mountains, emphasizes the importance of belief. Believe that you have already received it. Let there be no doubt in your mind. Believe that you have received it, and it will be yours. I believe that we live in a kind universe. We do go through rough spots. We go through trials. We go through tribulations. But these tribulations come just to give us our lessons, so that we can grow spiritually. And if we work with our higher power in trust, knowing that this higher power will not forsake us, that it will not lead us into destruction, just trust, as a child would trust in a devoted parent, a worthy parent, then we can count on this higher power, upper source, giving us the things that we need in order to do our best. I'm going to have to wrap this up. This broadcast has been a service of the Temple of the Infinite Universe Incorporated, an interfaith outreach in Wheatland, Missouri. If you'd like to learn more about us, visit our website at www.hermetictemple.com. To donate to this work, you can go to our fundraising website at www.gofundme.com/temple building. So until later, I'm going to play my closing music. This is Frater Ralph, and I will see you again on Thursday night at 6:00.